gathering. Thank you, O God. Thank you because we know that your power is present. Thank you because our hearts are full of faith. And thank you because we release our faith strong to receive from you. Thank you, O God, for all that will happen, all that will be worked amongst us. We give you all the praise and all the glory. Thank you. Thank you. For our eyes are able to see. Thank you because our ears hear. Thank you because our hearts are positioned and aligned to receive. Thank you, O God. Thank you because every mind and heart is touched. Thank you because every sick body is healed. Give you all the praise and all of the glory. Thank you, O God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, O God. In Jesus' name and amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. All right, you can greet a few people, maybe about 3 to 20. Before you take your seat. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Amen. You can have your seat. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Okay, so we trust, Lord, that in today's service, every condition will be sorted by the power of God. Okay? Conditions present here and conditions, outside of here. Okay? Those online, okay? And there would also be more for the people that live around. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Okay, so no panic.
Amen.
No worries. Praise God. It's a healing service, so from the prayers, healing has been available, right? The praise session, healing has been available. Now, God's word is about to be taught. Healing is still and will be available. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Okay. Everything about today's service is healing. Healing. During the offering, healing is available. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
When we're closing, healing is available. Amen?
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 So in case, don't let me say that. Let me just leave it there. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
So before we get to healing, I want to continue. Amen. What we started last week. And then we'll get to the healing part in terms of ministering or in terms of preaching and teaching and ministering healing. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Okay, so our giving culture. We'll do that as briefly as possible, our giving culture. So we started this last week, and we began from Acts chapter 20 and verse 35. Acts 20 and verse 35. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of our Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than
to receive. Amen? So, let me say this again. If you're here and you particularly want to receive healing, do not be distracted in any way. All right? My job here is to help you to receive. Amen? God was willing yesterday to heal you. He's willing today. He'll always be willing. He's been willing since last year. So he's been willing since 10 years. He's been willing since... Amen? All right. So this service is put together so that we can help ourselves to receive the most effective way. Amen? So if I need to stop to say some things, I would do that. All right? And so if you want to receive healing, make sure that you're not distracted in any way. All right? In any way. Don't say, okay, now we're teaching on giving culture, so let's put that aside. Let me put my faith aside. Let me just receive this word. Then I'll continue after. No. Amen? Amen? Amen. Keep the faith switch turned on. Praise God. Amen. Keep it turned on. Amen? Keep it turned on. Praise God. Keep it turned on. Hallelujah. Okay. So, focus. I've showed you all things, how that so laboring, ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of our Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And so we started from here and did a few things. The word bless is the word makarios, M-A-K-A-R-I-O-S, makarios. And it's a word that means to be fortunate or to be well off. Two words, well and then off, O-double-F. And it also means to be happy, to be happy. So, if you read from verse 33, Acts 20, Paul says, I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Ye know yourselves, or ye yourselves know, that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I'm sure you understand that, right? So Paul says he worked and then he met the needs of himself and those that were with him. Okay? He said that he did not covet any man's silver or gold or apparel. All right, so he was talking about material things, as it were. You can say finances, you can say resources, you can, many things across board. You can say money, I mean, all of that. Now, so in starting verse 35, you should not forget what you read in 33 and 34. So I have showed you all things, how that's so laboring. Can you see that? Is this talking about prayer? Laboring? Is it talking about preaching and teaching? How that so laboring, you ought to support the weak. So the weak there will be, another word for the weak, the poor, right? Are you here? Okay. And to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said. So by the time he connects that, what will that statement be referring to? Material things, right? To remember the words of our Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. So if you follow from 33, particularly into the statement that he made before he said to remember the words of our Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. So that statement will be, let me just shorten it. How that so laboring, ye ought to support the weak. Are you there? So if we have agreed that the weak will be the poor, so it means that he was encouraging them and had showed them by example how to communicate materially to those that do not have, right? Huh? To those that do not have. So it will mean that that statement is linked or attached to that. So it is more blessed to give than to receive, is to buttress supporting the weak using the words of our Lord Jesus. Does that make sense? Okay. So I will take from what I have and give to others. I will support. I will communicate materially to those that are weak, to those that are in need. So we've looked at that statement where it says it is more blessed to give than to receive. We have looked at the word blessed, okay, and simply means to be fortunate. Okay? Ordinarily, you can look at the word and say, okay, when you say it is more blessed, so it means, you know, you can just, without thinking, imply it to mean that to be blessed there is to have a lot of material resources. Okay? Or you say, blessed. You say, you're blessed. So it means that you have a lot of, you know, material things. But if you focus on it, it says it is more. So when you use the word more, it means you are comparing two things, right? It's a comparison, right? And you are saying something is greater than the other. Not that something has and the other doesn't. So it means that it is blessed to receive. Amen. It is blessed to receive. Huh?
Yes, sir.
I hope there's no confusion. It is blessed to receive.
Yes,
true or false?
Yes,
it is blessed to receive.
Yes,
some of you are looking like, this is a trick question. He's trying to test us. Is there something I'm missing? Is blessed to receive, true of us? Okay. But Paul says it is more blessed to give. Okay? So however blessed it is to receive, giving goes higher. Amen? So you're more blessed when you give. So if we assume that it has to do with material increase and prosperity, then it means Paul is saying that Jesus said that when you give, more material things come to you. Okay? We're assuming. Okay? Nobody should cut the video out and say this is what I said. We're assuming that if it is more material things, if it is material prosperity that Paul meant by being blessed, amen, then when you release what you have, praise God, when you release what you have, then more comes to you. I mean, we can be practical about it, right? Come on. You have 100,000 naira in your account. When you take out 20,000 and you give to others, let's say in this case, the poor, right? You are left with 80,000, right? And then let's say you have 100,000. And then you are given 20,000 by somebody else. So practically speaking, if you give 20, you have 80 left. If you are given 20, you have 120 now. So In terms of material increase, right, the person who receives is more blessed. Are you there?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Now, if we are still going to insist that this is material increase and we no go grieve for anybody, are you there? So it means that we shouldn't consider the 80,000, right? And, you know, the disparity or the difference between 80 and that 120 in terms of giving and receiving. It means that something that we do not understand or something immaterial will happen, right? And cause the 80 to be more than the 120. Are you there? Are you there? So at that point, we have to start speaking of miracles, right? Speaking of the immaterial, speaking about something that cannot be explained. Because from facts and figures, it is more blessed to receive than to give. Are you following?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So what did Paul mean here? And that's why we started by looking at the word blessed. It is more blessed. You are more fortunate when you give than when you receive. Now, in the context of the writing, not taking out a statement to, you know, say something or let it mean something. In the context of the writing, Paul was speaking about having and then ministering to the needs of others, right? Taking from what you have to minister to the needs of others. Taking from what you have to support the poor. So it is in that context that it is more blessed to give than to receive. Amen? Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Are you there? It is more blessed to minister to the needs of others than to receive. Also, Paul said to remember the words of our Lord Jesus. How he said. And if you go, I mean, that's where you find literally the words of our Lord Jesus. If you go to the four Gospels, you will not find a story, a place, a reference, a statement, you know, a place where it is said or where Jesus said verbatim that it is more blessed to give than to receive. So it means that Paul, looking at all that Jesus said, was able to say it is more blessed to give than to receive. Are you there? Now, let me continue with my note. So we have said it is blessed to receive, right? From Acts 20:35. It is blessed to receive, but more blessed to give. So if we take this statement and run away with it, someone will think we're lying, right? If I take from what I have, it says I'm more blessed than when I take in addition to what I have. So it is apparently not focusing on material possession. It is not focusing on material possession. And like we said the last time, that the focus is walking in the steps of the Father that gives. Walking in the steps of the Father that gives. Matthew 5 and verse 43. Ye have heard that it had been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemies. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them, that curse you. Do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Verse 45, are you there? That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Verse 48, be ye therefore what? Perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Can you see that? So what was Jesus' admonition here? To be as your Father. To be as the children of the Father. What does the Father do? He makes the rain to fall. Or maketh the sun, beg your pardon, to rise on the evil and on the good. And the rain on the just and the unjust. So Jesus said, you have heard. Love your neighbor, hate your enemy. But I'm saying to you, bless your enemy. Because what the Father does is to give to all. Does that make sense? And then we are left with the admonition, just like your Father, do the same. So the Father gives to all, right? Hey, are you there? That would include the evil. Enemies. Those who persecute and despitefully use you. Right? Bless them. I mean, Jesus doesn't even waste time. He doesn't. You know, in Genesis 12, God says to Abraham, I'll bless them that bless you, curse them that curse you. Jesus says, he says, bless them that curse you. Bless them that curse you. So, in verse 45 and 48, we are admonished, exhorted to be as the Father. This is what the Father does, do the same. Praise God. This is what the Father does, do the same. In Matthew 22 and from verse 36 to 40, Jesus summarizes the whole law. Matthew 22. From verse 36, Master, what is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto them, are you there? 37 now. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. Okay, you can find this in Deuteronomy 6 and 5. So Jesus responded by saying that to them. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This, verse 38, is the first and great commandment. Verse 39. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Verse 40. On these two commandments, do what? Hang all the law and the prophets. What? So Jesus simply said, the law and prophets are so written so that you can do these two things. I mean, he says, hang all the law and the prophets. That can pass for, this is why. The law and the prophets were written. Amen? On these two commandments, hang all the law and the prophets. So it's as though Jesus was saying, everything was written so that you can love the Lord thy God. To love is to serve. Amen? To serve others. That will be your neighbor. Okay, so love God, love your neighbor. In Mark 12, from verse 29 to 31, the same thing in Mark's rendering. Okay, in Mark's account. Mark 12, right, verse 29 to 31. Jesus answered, of course, same scenario, just reading what Jesus said. The first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. The second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. So, if you read the whole law, this is what God wants you to do, as it were. Or, this is what must be evident in your life. If you're reading the law and it's truly influencing you, then we must find you loving the Lord with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength, and loving your neighbor as yourself. Are you following this? See what Paul said in Romans 13. Romans chapter 13 and verse 9 to 10. Romans 13, 9 to 10. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet, and if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Do you see that? Look at verse 8. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. I mean, that sounds like Jesus, right? Amen? So Paul says in verse 9, all of those commandments is equal to love your neighbor as yourself. Thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt. So if you love your neighbor, you will not commit adultery. If you love your neighbor, you will not kill. If you love your neighbor, you will not steal. If you love your neighbor, you will not bear false witness. If you love your neighbor, you will not covet. And any other commandment like this is summed up into or to loving your neighbor as yourself. Amen. Verse 10. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Can you see that? Okay. In James chapter 2, James also says something that we can see as well. James 2 and verse 8. If ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you do well. Amen? It is James that told us that if you fulfill all of the law and default in one, you have broken the whole law. You are guilty of all. So here again he says, the royal law. If you fulfill it, and according to the scripture is, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. It says you do well. Amen. So, in the law, Jesus helped us to see that the goal, the fulfilling of the law, is to love the Lord and love your neighbors. And the word love can pass for serve. Let me join pass and serve together. Can pass for serve. So you will serve the Lord and you will serve your neighbor. You serve mankind. You serve the Lord, serve mankind. Serve the Lord, serve mankind. Amen? So in John 3:16, for example, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, we have an eternal and ultimate example when it comes to service. A love that he gave. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. First John 3:16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. We ought also to lay down our lives for the brethren. Can you see that? Amen? We can also see that if we say, like Jesus said, let me say it that way, love the Lord, love your neighbor. And the truth is, if you love the Lord, we will see that in loving your neighbor. I mean, there are those who love God privately. They love God. They don't serve others. They don't commit to an assembly. They don't commit themselves to, serving others. Paul in Ephesians 1, wherefore since, that's not Ephesians 1. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all saints. So faith in the Lord Jesus always translates to love to all saints. And love to all saints is service to the saints of God. I have faith in God, but I don't want to serve others. Do you really have faith in God? Amen. So, Paul admonishes, like we saw in Matthew 5, like Jesus did in Matthew 5, Paul admonishes the saints at Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1 to be followers of God. Okay? Be the children of your Father which is in heaven, or be ye perfect if your heavenly Father is perfect. Right? Paul now says, be ye followers of God as their children. Of course, you know the word followers, mimetes. Imitators. Copy what the Father does or is doing. Do as the Father does. Be ye followers of God. Not to have a tag, a name tag. I'm a follower. No. Followers of God. No. but to do as the Father does. The Father blesses those who curse him. Amen. Praise God. The Father blesses the evil. The Father blesses the unjust. So you will do the same. The Father gives to all. So that's what you will do. Be ye followers of God as their children. And if you look at that portion, he uses that, I mean, he further explains what he meant in Ephesians chapter 5 and 2. I just want to get there and read it. Okay. And walk in love. Okay, so there's an instruction, an admonition. And walk in love. Yes, he had said be followers. That's an instruction too. And walk in love. This is what it means to be a follower of God. Walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. So you have an example. You won't define your own pattern of love. You won't have a definition of love for yourself. You walk in love as Christ also loved us. And as what? Hey, are you there? Giving himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. So you will love, or you will walk in love as Christ loved us. How did Christ love us? He gave himself. He gave himself. Praise God. He made himself available. He gave himself. So we ought to give ourselves. We read in 1 John 3 and 16. He laid down his life for us. We ought to also lay down our lives. Because not to die on the cross, but to make your life available for his service and for the service of mankind. He didn't pursue a degree while he was supposed to be dying on the cross for us. I'm not saying pursuing a degree is bad. I pursued, amen, and I can still pursue. I pursued one, pursued two. I can pursue three, four, five. Amen. And everybody under the sound of my voice, either you pursued or you are pursuing. And there's nothing wrong with getting a degree. Amen. But we're saying that Jesus, if you look at his life, is like he came to die. Amen. If you want to summarize his life, he came to die. He didn't get married. Praise God. Amen. I didn't say don't marry. I am married. Praise God. Uh-huh. He didn't get married. There's no record of expanding his father's business, the furniture business. Amen. There's no... I mean, we can go on and on. There's no record of, Jesus is gone. No. Disciples are having problem in Cappadocia. In the church. Jesus has a property there. So they use that property for the local church there. You know, and things like that. Amen? So you look at Jesus' life and you see an example of service. He just came for us. And that's now our own model. Our model, our example, our template, our pattern. So the blessedness in Acts 20 and 35 is in walking in the steps of the Father. You are more fortunate when you can demonstrate what God does. Does that make sense? Where you can demonstrate what God does. That's the blessedness there. So this is not some money-making kind of scheme. There is more blessed to give than to receive. Oh. So if I have 100, I give 20, and then somebody has 100, he gets 20. I'm the one that is more blessed when I give. I mean, I saw this video on the internet. The guy was seated somewhere, looks like a garage. There was a roller shutter there. And then it was opened a little, and somehow something by mistake fell inside. And as he rolled inside, whatever that was inside threw out two of that thing. So maybe a drink fell inside, then two drinks rolled out. I say, ah? Then he took something else. Then two of it came out. He put money, then more money came out. I say, eh? So he removed other things with everything that has come out, pushed them inside, and then the door went down. A lot of times we'll be thinking like this, that, so it's more blessed to give than to receive. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Yeah, so I need 1 million, I have 500. What do I do? Then first of all, send 100 out. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Add another 100. It's more blessed just, you know, just, or I send 100, it brings 1 million. You receive 100, you have 600. Me, I gave 100, 1 million K, and I have 1.4. Ha! Uh-oh. That's what Paul is saying, though. Somebody said he worked with his hand. He did not convert anybody's silver, gold, or apparel. He ministered to his needs and the needs of those around him. He has showed them in all things how they ought to support the weak. And to remember the words of our Lord Jesus, how he said, he's more blessed to give than to receive. Isn't that clear enough? Amen? Okay. So, that brings us to a point where we can say, giving is our culture. Giving is an example that we ought to follow, which we see in the Father. When you are able to take what you have so that others can be better or be blessed, to take from what you have, or where you can share what you have with others. Nobody does that more than the Father. Amen? In Romans 8:31-32, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Amen? He gave us his son. If he gave us his son, then he is able to freely give us all things. In John 4 and 14. Quickly. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well springing forth unto everlasting life. James 1 and 17. Every good gift and perfect gift cometh down, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And it is good to note that our Christianity, our faith, our gospel, our life is God's gift to us. Amen? God's gift to us. Gift simply means I received it. It's not because of what I did. It's just because of the benevolence of the giver. I received it. In Romans 5, verse 6 and verse 8, while we're yet without strength, while we're yet sinners, he died for us. when we did not know that we needed a sacrifice so that we can live. Why we did not know that we needed to be rescued from perishing, he gave himself for us. In Romans 5:15, but not as the offense, also is the free gift. For if through the offense of many, of one, many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, had abounded unto many. Verse 17, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they will receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. God's grace is a gift to us. God's righteousness is a gift. And when you think of a gift, you must think more on the benevolence of the giver. Not that I qualify for it or it's a payment, is what is due to me. No, a gift is a gift. Amen? You call someone, it didn't work for you, didn't do anything, you just take some money, take some cash, and you just say, take. And then the person collects it, and before you, begins to count. In case you don't know what that means. Okay, so when you're done counting, what will happen? It's not complete. Or what? Or it will then now influence your thanksgiving. And you now come and say, 20, only me, yay! Then maybe in your mind you're expecting 5,000, and then you count it, 4,000. Oh, thank you all the same. Amen. I mean, it's important for us to, that's prevalent in culture, but it's important for us to also reason that way. Learn to be thankful. Learn to be thankful. Amen. A lot of times I do that. I remember years ago when, to send someone call credit, right? You have to send 16 digits, right? And then you send it to the person, then the person would load it on their phone, right? Or on their line. And then you have to go *123 or 5 all of those or 7, whatever. And then you do all of that. It is until you do that dialing and then it does pim, right? That you know the value of the 16 digits. Amen? You know, so you can type and then it's 59. You can do all the typing and then when you're done it's 100 naira. You can do all the typing and then it's 200 naira. And then at times you could just type, 1,000, I can't remember how much I think. I think MTN had 1.5 and then the likes like that. Amen? So imagine someone sends you 16 digits, 5 of them. First of all, say thank you. It's possible that at the end of all the typing, all you will have is 250 naira. 50 naira per. But first be thankful. And I used to do that. You know, once I see something like that, I first of all say thank you before I even type. I say thank you very well before I type. Okay? By the time I now type, I now see that is 25 naira. Then, I'm thankful already. Amen. And I say, Sha, thank you. After all the stress. All the typing itself took 25 naira from me. And then that's all I got. Okay? So, learn to be thankful. Amen? Learn to be grateful. If it's a gift, receive it wholeheartedly. Be grateful for the benevolence of the giver. Amen? And that's what God has called us to do. When it comes to the subject of salvation, and even every other thing, the subject of salvation. On the subject of salvation, be thankful for God's benevolence. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Hallelujah. So the church, closing now, at its early stage, demonstrated giving. There is no way you can talk about Christianity or talk about God and not talk about giving. Now, I know, you know, a number of Christians, and I'm not saying this to disregard or neglect the work of good ministers, good churches, amen, that are teaching the Bible as it should and the influence that it is making, okay, in the lives of many and all of that. In terms of correcting the many evil that has been done, so much that today when you talk about giving, you say, they're out for our money. They're out for our money. I know you don't do that, praise God. They're out for our money. You know, it's just giving, giving. You want to go get money? You want to take our money? It's out for our money. It's out for us. You want to do this? You know, there are many bad examples we've seen over the years, right? Bad. You know, people selling all kinds of stuff for money. Amen? Imagine I'll just pray on this now. Say there's healing power on it. I say, if you want it, 10 million. My God. That's good business. Where's Mr. Rebecca? How much did you buy this? But 10 million. Amen. 10 million. My God. That's good. Good business. I mean, whatever you want to do, I will do it. I'll go on the mountain. I'll tarry there 7 days. I'll pray on it. When I'm back, 10 million. Amen. And I'm sure you know I won't buy just one. My vehicle will be loaded with face towers. Amen. Pray on all of them and then sell to those who can afford it. Right? That's the point. You know, so in the midst of all of those things, we then feel like when it comes to giving, let's just let people be. No. If you are not walking in the steps of the Father, then you are not. Amen. And God wants you to. Oh boy, I need to round up now. Okay, I don't have a choice, I have to. So, we must see giving as part of Christian worship. And when we say giving, we are firstly speaking about giving generally. It's not just money that you can give. You can give many things. Your time. Your energy. So what we are saying is that we must always be found giving. Giving. And we must not be selective. Say, don't worry, I'll give my time. I'll give my energy. But my money? No. Don't worry, I'll give my money. But my time? My energy? No. Don't worry, I'll give my time. That's only what I have to spare. My energy, my resources, my... I don't have... No. Giving must be all round. So it's part of Christian worship. In Acts 2, 43 to 47... the believers had all things common. The church just began. But the believers had all things common because those who had more gave so that those who had little can have their needs met. Why? Because the Spirit of Christ, the giver, the Spirit of God, the giver, is resident in them. In Acts 4, 32 to 37... it was further spoken about the believers having all that they needed, and then a man who was son named Barnabas because of his giving. Meaning son of consolation. He had a land, he sold it, and he brought everything and submitted it to the apostles. I mean, if someone does that today in church and he makes it to the media, the pastor will be an evil man, a heretic. Someone did something similar to Jesus. The alabaster box. It's not just a box of ointment. It's very expensive. Some have told us that it's equivalent of a year's salary. And then breaks it. And that's why the disciples complained, murmured, particularly Judas. I'm sure he's the one that started it. Murmured. I said, why would you waste all of this on just feet? This can be used to feed the poor that you are feeding. Have you? Jesus said, the poor you always have with you. She's doing a good work. Let her do it. Amen? Someone just comes down and says, Pastor, take 50 million for your lunch this afternoon. Say, me 50 million for your lunch. That we can use to build factories. That we can use to feed the poor. If we spend that money on Amala this afternoon, everybody will be. The poor you would always have with you. Amen. I mean, don't join those people. Just feel, well, let me leave that. I need to close. So, that man, son named Barnabas, did that he was commended by the apostles. I'm not saying this so that you give so that you can be commended. You give because you have the heart of a giver. When you give, thanksgiving, of course, will always abound unto God because of you. What Barnabas did in Acts 4 is kind of what resulted to the death of Ananias and Sapphira in Acts 5. Rather than do the same, they by that avenue lied. Imagine you have a property today. You sell it, 100 million. And then you take half of it and give it to church, 50 million. Isn't that good giving? On all levels, percentage, amounts. I mean, the generosity, the act, the everything. That's good giving. Why lie? Why say, the property was worth 50 million and I brought everything. Whereas I held back part and then I gave the rest. That was the issue in Acts 5. So 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 1 to 9, we see the Macedonian church. And you know that if there was no 1 Corinthians epistles, if there was no first epistle to the Corinthian church, we will not know that the Macedonian church gave, even in deep poverty. I should tell you something, right? They were only used as an example for the church at Corinth. And if you read that, Paul was not only talking about them. Yes, he said they were in great affliction, in deep poverty, yet they were greatly generous and abounded in great joy. Now, he also said that they first of all gave themselves before their material giving. And they begged Paul that, no, you have to take this from us. We know we're poor. We know we should use this to feed. We know we should use this to sort ourselves. We know we should use this to, take care of our families and all of that. But we want to do this. They begged him, please take this
for the work of the mission. Those are believers. Amen? Those are believers. But they were only able to do that because they willingly offered themselves first, then their offerings. Paul called it the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. How that even in poverty, they were greatly generous. Generosity is your nature. It's the nature of our Father. Therefore, we must follow his steps. We must be givers. We have to be givers. It's an obligation that we have in God's word. We have to be givers all round. All round. We have to be givers all round. And then he not only stopped there. He said, he not only used Macedonia as an example for the Corinthian church. He sent Titus to the Corinthian church to finish in them the same grace also. And that's why we are teaching. Giving can be taught so that you can do better in it. To finish in you the same grace also. So giving is our culture. Amen? And we must always, always give. Always. Always. Amen? Always. We must always give. We must always. Always. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We must always give. We must always commit ourselves to the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. We must always commit ourselves to giving. Being available for the Lord. For the Lord's use. Being available. Making your resources available. Making everything available. 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 Your time, your energy. Your house. The things that you have. Available for the Lord's use. Giving is our culture. Therefore, it must be our practice. It's our tradition. And therefore, it must be found in our daily living. Learn to give. Expect to give every day. Give as much as it lies within your power. Don't be too fixated on your needs, on what you don't have. I mean, naturally speaking, if you need a million and what you have is 400,000, I mean, nothing must touch that 400. Amen? I'm looking for more. And therefore, I'm just all out for what I can get. So, naturally, I'm in the mode of receiving, because I have a need. When you're too fixated on your need, you would always put yourself in the receiving mode. Want to receive, want to receive, want to receive, want to receive, so that that need can be met. But our Bible, our gospel, our doctrine, our Father, our Savior, our family teaches us to give. Redirects our focus to giving. Yes, I know I have this need. God makes every favor and earthly blessing come to you in abundance. And therefore, I will watch out for the needs of others. Amen? I will watch out for the needs of my church, for the needs of the gospel, and I'll communicate to it and communicate well. I remember something I heard years ago. Two people in church sat beside each other, and then one person, oh God, I mean, it was a small amount, I can't, maybe 10,000. Oh God, give me this, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God. Person prayed out loud. The other person was seated by and then needed a whole lot more. And he heard the prayer point of that one and then just took out the 10,000 and said, take. This is for you. Amen?
Whatever reasons it was for, keep quiet. Let us let us ask God for big, big needs. It's your thank you. Take. That need was met. Amen? And that's how, that should help us to understand that many times we expect that all of a sudden our bank accounts will just rise supernaturally. Whereas God will meet his need by his generosity. God will meet her need by his generosity. God will meet her need by her generosity. Amen. Lift your hands. Thank him. Thank him. Give him praise.